everybody. Have you given the updates on Fiji's attendance at the Pacific Island Forum?
No, I haven't had any updates. I took a decision that the transit through Auckland Airport should be permitted because I felt that the Commodore should front up to the leaders and explain why, having given his word to leaders at the last Pacific Island Forum that there would be elections by the end of March next year on the existing constitution and electoral law. He then said just a few weeks ago that that had never been his intention. Now I think he should be held to account by fellow leaders, and on that basis alone, I agree that we should facilitate transit through Auckland Airport. Whether he wishes to avail himself of this opportunity to be held to account by his peers remains to be seen.
Prime Minister, he's told me, I've been told 5 minutes ago, he said he will not go, and that the problems with post-forum dialogue in Auckland are the reason that he's not going.
There is no post-forum dialogue in Auckland. There is the post-forum dialogue in Niue. That takes place on Friday our time, Thursday Niue time. So there is no post-forum dialogue in Auckland to be had.
So how do you take that in terms of his refusal to come in that case?
Well, if that's what he's saying, then I suspect that he was looking for an excuse. It was not New Zealand's intention to provide him with an excuse not to come, which is why I agreed that he should be able to transit through Auckland Airport alone.
Would the Pacific Island leaders see it as a snub?
Most definitely, if that is indeed his position. You'll recall last year that the Solomon Islands Prime Minister didn't come. That actually was probably what precipitated quite a big change in the government arrangements in Solomon's.
What do you think the forum can do if he doesn't go? I mean, it's getting quite serious, isn't it? Not only has he said he's not going to keep his promises, he's not going to turn up and explain himself.
Well, sometimes something like that happening can change the internal dynamic at home. That's certainly what appeared to happen in the Solomon Islands when other Solomon's ministers and players saw that their country wasn't at the leaders' table and they felt very, very bad about that. With respect to the forum, we have a report from the Ministerial Contact Group with a lot of recommendations. That hasn't been publicly released at this time, but it's my expectation that the forum leaders will want to adopt the report and the recommendations and communicate with Fiji accordingly, whether or not the Commodore is there.
Does that offer the way forward that people have been suggesting about?
Well, I think it offers a way forward, but it certainly will be seeking to hold Fiji to the commitments it gave before.
Mr. Ngarase said today that the way forward might be a small delay, a slight delay, at elections by the end of November 2009.
Well, we have a report to consider in the next few days. We'll be considering that. Obviously, it's a dynamic situation with the Commodore putting into some doubt his attendance.
Won't it be a bit hollow discussing the challenges or electoral pathway for Fiji without them?
I think it speaks volumes if they're not prepared to come and be accountable to forum leaders. But obviously, we're going to await formal advice as to whether they're coming or not.
What do you make of the resignations from the interim government, Mahendra Chaudhary and his colleagues?
There's been rumours for weeks, if not months, that Mr. Chaudhary might leave the government, either asked to leave or leave. So it hasn't come as a particular surprise to me that he's resigned, but what the exact dynamic is behind him and other members of his party resigning from the ministry remains to be seen.
Does that put more pressure on Mr. Wainwright?
If a rather tenuous interim government sees interim ministers resigning from it, yes, I would have thought it further destabilised the situation in Fiji.
So if the Commodore is not there, would you think Fiji would become a more or less dominant theme of this forum? I mean, might it be that some leaders just want to simply ignore it and move on to more important issues?
No, that's not what I'm hearing. I think the leaders are very keen to see the commitments that were made last time adhered to. And I think there would be considerable concern if the person who gave those commitments wasn't prepared to come and explain himself.
So that could accelerate their concern? And
I think it would certainly deepen the concern if he weren't prepared to be in dialogue about it.
What options should the forum have in terms of potential action against Fiji? Do you think the leaders are at that stage where particularly if he's not there, where it goes on from there?
My assessment is that leaders feel that the events in Fiji are really casting a stain on the Pacific. The leaders want to be seen and have the forum be seen to continue to be leading international opinion and action on the issue. So it's going to be taken very seriously whether or not the Commodore is there.
Kevin Rudd is here tonight. Obviously the Pacific is one of the issues you'll be discussing tomorrow. Are there any areas that you're hoping to cover in your talks with them?
This will be the fourth time I've met Kevin Rudd since I've been on the Prime Minister. We were together at meetings in London around the NATO summit in Romania in April. Obviously I was over there last December, and then again in February for a formal meeting. So this is a chance to catch up on where things have gone since then. He's been travelling quite a lot as a new Prime Minister. He's been in Japan, he's been in Korea, China twice, Malaysia, and Singapore since I last saw him. So it's an opportunity to get a readout on what he's hearing around those capitals. But obviously a centrepiece of the discussion will be on the Pacific Island Forum and the issues there.
Climate change is going to be a big issue there. What will you be able to tell them about your own progress for emissions trading scheme?
Climate change will be an issue at the forum, and it always has been. What has changed now is that the government of Australia is a new government which has committed to the Kyoto Protocol and wants to do something about the problem on a multilateral basis. So I'm sure there'll be very good statements on climate change out of Niue. With respect to the emissions trading scheme, I'm advised by our officials that there's been very close liaison with Australia going on for quite some time, going back to before Mr. Brook was elected, that the proposal that his government has come up with for an emissions trading scheme is not incompatible with ours at all. They're different schemes, but not incompatible, and they have the scope to be linked together in the future.
Have you got the numbers to pass your bill?
As I say every week when I'm asked that question, this is an ongoing matter.
No announcements tomorrow then?
No. No. True. No announcements tomorrow.
TVNZ had a report to Trevor Mallard around the beach incident, and does the fact that he was charged today, does that delay the release of that report at all?
I haven't heard anything from Trevor Mallard on that matter today. I've obviously observed the media reports briefly that he has been arrested and charged, but I don't have any information about that report.
Have an election date for us yet?
Not today.
Did the caucus discuss the polls at all today?
Well, I haven't made it up there yet.
Oh, right.
I haven't made it up there yet. We've actually been very busy all morning with the cabinet. Unfortunately, we'll stand up and can't brief you. But, you know, we've still got a lot of bills and major issues coming through the cabinet. And as I said at the start of the year, the three-year term, you can't just hang up your boots and campaign for the whole year. You have to get on with policy. And there's a lot coming through the system, including quite a lot of bills for introduction.
But you haven't got that many sitting days left.
Well, this is true, but you need to have a full parliamentary agenda. That's our objective, to be in a position to advance it after the election.
You don't want to give us a number of how many sitting days left?
No. Have you got any advice for Mr. Peters going into his hearings on the Senate?
No, I don't. It's see the committee.
There's a poll today, a Fairfax poll, showing that the majority of Labour and National voters actually don't want to pass New Zealand First in future coalition discussions. I mean, that must be probably, you know, a concern to both yourself and John Key.
Who makes up the next governmental arrangements is, of course, entirely a matter for discussion after the election. The last election delivered a rather fractured parliament. It was no easy matter to put together government arrangements. No reason to think life will be any less easy in terms of how governments are put together.
You've talked previously about Mr. Peters being voted out in the court of public opinion, and the same poll showed that more people than not thought he should have been stood down from his ministerial positions.
But I've seen that, but then I also have to see that against the background that he represents a small party. So by definition, the overwhelming majority of people don't support him and his party. That will have a bearing on an assessment like that.
Isn't the danger, though, that it has a bearing on Labour or an impact on Labour?
I honestly don't think so. I think we've played a very straight bat on this. We haven't been quick to judge. We
we've said shows the evidence.
Could there come a time when he becomes a political liability?
It's an entirely hypothetical question.